James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life, you hear me? Give my creation life.
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast area.
Your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Oh, yeah. Yes, indeed. I'm here, and oh, man, am I glad to be here. Wow. It's been like, how many of you felt like I did last night, like it was Christmas Eve, like back when you were a kid? Remember when you were 7 and it was Christmas Eve and you're up all night and couldn't sleep? Oh my God, by tomorrow night I'm going to be a mess because, well, you know, we'll be up all night tonight, that's for sure. So if you listen to the program tomorrow and I sound just a little bit, as they used to say in the old days, off kilter, you'll know why. And if I were a drinking man, I think either way I'd be hitting the bottle tonight. If we win, yahoo, just, you know, have a few drinks. If you lose, have a whole lot more drinks. But you know what? We're not going to lose. Get that in your head. We're not going to lose this election. Keep that in mind. All evening today and all day tomorrow, we are not going to lose this election. So that's the way it is. That's how it's going to be. I don't give a damn how much they cheat and connive and you know, dirty politics that they do, we're still going to beat them. Keep that in your head. We're still going to beat them. The show today, by the way, we are coming to you from the Blue Waters and Sandy Beaches of beautiful Fort Myers, Naples area, Florida. And so glad to have every single one of you along today. I'm so excited. Went and voted this morning. I'm sure all of you did as well. Maybe you're going to a little later on this evening, whatever. A great turnout here where we live. It's, well, where I live, it's approximately 62-63% Republican and, you know, 30-whatever left for the Democrats. But the poll workers told me that they had surpassed the primary vote numbers by 8 o'clock this morning. I went about 9, and they said by 8 o'clock they had surpassed the primary. Of course, we only had about a 15% primary election turnout here in Florida, but a good turnout, and I'm hearing that there are good turnouts all over the country. I think that is great news for our side. And what I mean is by our side, I'm talking about Democrats. I'm talking about liberal, progressive Democrats. That's our side. The other side, who shall remain nameless, going to get their asses kicked today. I just know it. I feel it. I feel it in my bones. And if I'm wrong about this, this will be the most wrong I've ever been about anything in my life. Well, there was that time. Well, I won't get into that. Hey, I got somebody on the phone right now. I normally don't do this. Let's do this right away. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Gonzo greetings. It's Spike from Easton. How are you, Guy?
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing quite good. Just T-minus a few hours till officially the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania's taxpayers, and Santorum, you're fired.
Oh, what a great day.
I really can't wait. He's been behind the whole time. I mean, even the cockamamie Republican pollsters can't put him in the lead with their crackpot poll. So I'm feeling very confident it's going to be a big win against Mr. Santorum.
Oh, yeah. And how sweet that will be. Probably like you. Somebody asked me the question several months ago, if you could accomplish one thing on Election Day this year, throw out one person, who would it be? I said Santorum, of course.
I'll tell you what, too. The GOP has done a pitiful job at the get-out-the-vote effort for this election. So he's kind of a victim of his own party's laziness. I think they're being a little too cocky and thinking that they're just going to win it again. And best of all, the Rendell campaign, since Lynn Swann isn't even a candidate worth mentioning, essentially, he's used his effort in his campaign not only for his own, but they put stuff out in the doors and everyone here in Easton paid for by the Rendell for Governor campaign, and it says vote Democratic today. And it says, you know, Rendell Casey. And on the other side has a picture of George Bush and says, if you stay home, he wins. Make your voice heard and vote Democrat today. Polls are open till 8 p.m. So the Rendell campaign putting their funds to good use, since there's no use to fight Lynn Swann. They too have been fighting Rick Santorum. So, I mean, he's been getting, I guess you could say he's been getting beat around the ring pretty good, and rightfully so. If politics were professional wrestling, he would be the ultimate heel, and certainly deserves the chair over the head.
Oh yeah, and you know Swann was never in that race, was he? There was no buzz, nothing.
Not only that, but some members of the GOP party prefer white men, and Lynn Swann just doesn't fit that qualification.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. I mentioned that about Blackwell in Ohio. You know, hey, who are you kidding, buddy? Who are you kidding? Your own people are not going to, your own Republican people are not going to back you. Because you're black. That's why.
Yeah, essentially. Well, you know, I have a good friend with the local fire company. He's a U.S. Naval Academy graduate. And he's a African-American Republican, and I said to him, you're going to vote for Lynn Swann? And he just started hysterically laughing. He goes, I'm not wasting my vote on him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's someone that's the people they're going after with Lynn Swann, and they're just laughing. I said, yeah, okay, we're not wasting our time with that guy.
Well, that's things are looking pretty good in Pennsylvania, and you're on your House races. The Republicans are down in a couple of them, and the Democrats are up in a few more. I think it's doggone Weldon. Looks like he might pull his out over Sestak. I'm not sure. Close.
Yeah, the suburbs of Philly are very far right in many parts of Bucks County, so I'm not surprised there. Although, hopefully, Mr. Dent here in the Lehigh Valley, which is Allentown, Bethlehem, Easton, Nazareth, will also get the boot today. He's done a pitiful job, and he's actually trying to get the anti-war protesters.
Which race was that?
That's right here in the Lehigh Valley. I can't remember what my own congressional district number is, but it's Charlie Dent is the incumbent. He's been a Bush apologist for quite some time. He even had some anti-war protesters who refused to leave his office till he would speak with them, and he had them arrested, and he's been pushing it through the court system to get them put in jail over that. A little-known story about Charlie Dent, which I'm surprised the Democrats didn't run with nationally a little more to show just what kind of a brainless swine he truly is. But best of all, my parents live up in the Poconos, and a real good quick story, because today was the first day many people in the state have ever voted with the new electronic machine. And my father was telling me there was a lady really dumb who didn't know how to work the machine. She saw red light. You know, why are they red lights? Blah, 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 blah. And at the end, she carried on saying, well, where was Sherwood? I wanted to vote for Sherwood. And it turns out Sherwood doesn't represent the Poconos. So I find it funny that his base, a lot of them don't live where he is, and they also can't figure out the touchscreen machines, which my father, who is as computer illiterate as you can get, he can hardly work the microwave. Even he said it was easier than trying to use an ATM.
Oh yeah, well, and Sherwood's in the 10th. You know, he's in the 10th, and he's getting his butt kicked by Carney up there. So that's.
Yeah, well, people don't take too kindly to someone who says, "Yes, I did cheat on my wife, but I didn't beat my mistress." You know, that has to be one of the worst defense. That might be worse than even Foley's defense, yeah, that it was the alcohol.
Oh, yeah. And he didn't even go off to rehab.
No.
Gee whiz.
Obviously, if you're cheating on your wife, people probably don't believe that you're not doing the other things. That, you know, so I think he's going to, and not to mention the president has become very unpopular in these parts, and it didn't help him to have the president come and stump for him. I think anyone the president stumped for is going to fail because the president showed up.
Oh, yeah, and you know, somewhere in this country, some enterprising Republican, I don't know where they'd put it for sure, some obscure place in northwestern Nebraska or someplace like that, they need to build a rehab center just for Republican politicians. And you know, you can send Sherwood out there, and of course, Foley, and Reverend Haggard, he could go there as well. And it's just a whole host of them, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, tonight's going to be – I'm a political junkie like the good late Dr. Thompson, and today is my Christmas, and I believe Santa Claus is going to deliver us a lot of blue boxes.
Okay, I'm going to pin you down. Your prediction.
Yeah, so if nothing else, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania will change its ways. And right before I go, I just want to make one quick point to everyone. If you'll notice, Arlen Specter has not once come out publicly and gone on camera or in front of the press supporting Santorum.
Man, he must be drinking wine over on the Riviera someplace. I haven't seen hide nor hair of Arlen Specter in 6 weeks.
He's kept his hands as clean as he can of Mr. Santorum because he knows he's on the way out and he doesn't want to be associated with
him. Good idea. Okay, now, your prediction for the Senate?
As much as I don't like Bob Casey, I think he's going to win.
How about for the – I'm talking for the U.S. What do you say?
Oh, I think the Senate will go blue. Congress, that's more regional around the country. That might be a split. But I certainly think as far as the Senate itself, I think we're going to have more senators with the letter D after today.
Okay. And just so everybody knows, right off the bat, let me get mine out of the way. I was going to predict today, and I am going to. The U.S. Senate, 51 blue, 49 red. And the House, 232 for Democrats. 232. Remember that. Hey, Gonzo, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Thank you.
Let's go here to the other line. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, it's Susan in Columbia City.
Hi, Susan.
Well, the polls are only opened 4 hours ago, but since we have a mail-in ballot, we have been voting for the past 2 weeks. According to the papers here, which is run by the Republicans, by the way, so they didn't like reporting this, we're on track to set a 16-year voting record, and most of it's going Democratic.
Great.
Yippee skippy. The place I'm worried about is Washington, because we've been hit by a massive storm, both states, and Washington is flooding.
Well, in the House races in Washington, the Republicans are ahead in two of them, in the polls anyway. Larson and what's his name, Ruistone. Larson's ahead in that one, but Democrats are behind the other two. You know, one thing I find interesting, Oregon. What's up in Oregon this year? I'm afraid I haven't done as good a job in Oregon as I should. You don't have any races going on this year?
Oh yeah. We've got. Let me see. We've got the governor's race is a toss up between a Democrat and an honest-to-God Bush lookalike, right down to the smirk.
Really?
Oh, God, yes.
That's hard to do.
Four times already.
Oh.
And it's a toss-up.
We just don't. The problem is, and I'm being facetious when I say you don't have any races this year, there's hardly ever any good polling information comes out of Oregon, and I don't know why.
Well, I don't know if it's so much polling information as so much controversy, because for one thing, they know it's an absolutely clean election. You know, like, sure, they scan the ballots with optical scans, but every one of these is not networked, I checked. And there's only one county that uses a Diebold scanner. All the others are put out by other companies.
I see.
And even then, if there's a recount, they can actually go to the physical ballots.
I see. Okay.
And that's what they count, is the ballots.
Hmm.
So we have about as clean an election as you're going to get.
Well, that's good. There's certainly, and we'll talk about that later on in the program, there's certainly, lots of reports starting to come in today. But and we'll talk about that. We've got a guest coming up at the bottom of the hour, Susie Turnbull, who's the vice the vice chair of the DNC, is going to be with us. And we'll talk about that a little bit. But, you know, I think despite all that, I still think we're going to end up in the driver's seat. I really do.
Yeah, from what I'm hearing, it's turning out a huge turnout, and the bigger the turnout, the better it is for the Democrats.
That's good news, and we're hearing that all over the country, that the turnouts are bigger.
Republicans are staying home. Yay.
Well, I got to admit, if I were a Republican, I'd be hanging my head in shame right now. Probably have the curtains pulled and got, you know.
I'd be headed for Nicaragua.
Yeah.
Some place in South America where they can't extradite me if I was one of the bookies.
Right, right. Hey, thanks for your call. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, you have a real nice day.
Plan to. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, you know, it's finally here. And we've all been waiting. I know you have. I have. Election days here at last. And we've all been waiting for this day for months. I know I have, in the hopes that we can turn things around finally. And I think today's going to go down in history as a day that will define America. And what will the citizens of the country decide today? Will we continue on as a nation of unbridled, in-your-face corruption like we've had for the past 6 years? Will our government continue to function as a tool for corporate America and the rich? Or will she once again become a government of the people, by the people, and for the people? That's what I'm hoping. Will our government once again be concerned with the plight of the poor and the disadvantaged? They've been forgotten. The working men and women, they've been forgotten. The wage earners and their jobs, they've all been forgotten. Or will it continue to open the taps and allow the jobs to just flow right out of the country into other country where goods are made in sweatshops for pennies and then shipped back here so Americans can buy them at Walmart, thus driving down their own wages and contributing to their own demise by driving up the trade deficit? I just think people don't have a handle on that whole thing. Would our government help the working poor and raise the minimum wage? I should hope that might be the first thing on the Democrats' agenda if we get in. We'll also be deciding how our country is to be viewed by the rest of the world. I know the Republicans don't give a damn how we're looked upon as by the rest of the world. But Democrats are wondering, will we continue to be the villains that we're thought to be around the world right now? Where even the British people think Bush is to be feared more than Al-Qaeda? Will we be able to erase the stain upon our reputation created by this incompetent, warmongering Republican gang? One can only hope. It won't happen overnight. And it's going to take a concentrated effort by a good State Department filled with the right people for a change. And will the people install a new government that are willing to listen to the wants and needs of the people? Will the new government totally rebuke that idiotic, smug statement by Dick Cheney this past weekend? Did you hear that? Let me quote him here. I've got it here somewhere. He says, it may not be popular with the public. It doesn't matter in the sense that we have to continue what we think is right, Cheney said. He goes on to say, that's exactly what we're doing. We're not running for office. We're doing what we think is right. Has any government official ever made a more in-your-face, arrogant statement than that? It doesn't matter what the public thinks. We're going to do what we think is right. We can do what we want because we're not running for office. We can do any damn thing we please because we think it's right. Yes, me, Dick Cheney, I decide what is right. And what you lowly citizens think doesn't matter a damn to me. We wouldn't care if 99% of you didn't like how we're running this war. You can just stick it because we don't care what you think. And if you don't shut your mouths and keep your thoughts to yourselves, we can arrange to have you charged for aiding the enemy. Lock your ass up and you can rot in prison for the rest of your life with no lawyer, no nothing. Sorry, suckers. That is why, if I had my way, the first order of business, were I Nancy Pelosi, would to impeach Dick Cheney before Bush. But I digress. I just want to remind everybody what an important day in American history this really is. We can continue on this disastrous course we've been on since the Republicans have had control, or we can chart a new course. A course of peace and prosperity that we've enjoyed not so long ago. We can enjoy having a government that serves for the good of all of the people instead of a select few. If we're not victorious today, I'm afraid for our country. And you should be as well. But we will win today. We will win the day today. I know we will. Let's go back to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, is it me?
Yes, it's you.
Hi, this is Caroline from Washington State.
Hi, Caroline.
Hi, Guy.
How are you today?
Good. I'll give you a little update, okay?
Okay.
King County, they use touchscreen machine, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I just read on a Democratic Underground a little while ago that people refuse to use the machine and they're requesting for the ballot.
Oh, then they'll have to take a provisional paper ballot?
Right, and they could do that. We have a choice, you know, over there.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody, so far, nobody in one precinct is using Diebold machine. Nobody.
Oh, wow.
And well, I think this is going to be a trend in the whole King County because it's such a progressive county that they already know about Diebold machine, majority of them.
Yeah, well, wasn't Andy from King County?
Exactly.
Yes.
I'm from Snohomish County, okay?
Mm-hmm.
State of Washington, except two counties, Pierce and King County, are the only one who has a Diebold machine. I mean, whatever the machine they have, they also have to have printer, according to Washington state law. They cannot, they have to have it in case to recount.
Mm, good. So
they use papers to recount it, okay?
Yeah.
Another thing is, rest of the county of the state of Washington, except Pierce and King County, we all vote by mail. We do not have machine to vote, period.
I see. Okay. Well, it's interesting to see. Interesting to see how many different ways people vote here in the country.
Exactly.
I'd like to see a standardized way all over the country, but I think we're some way off from having that happen.
King County is going to go to all paper ballot by 2008. I do know that.
Hmm. Well,
Now, Pierce County's been talking about that also.
I hope that's a trendsetter for the rest of the country.
Exactly. So I thought I'd give you update on...
Well, thank you. I didn't know that, and that's good to know, and I hope they've got something started there. I really do. I hope that's...
What happened was after 2004, remember, we had two automatic recount, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because Gregoire, our governor's race was so close. It was like within 200 votes apart, okay?
Right.
First two automatic recount, not hand recount, the Republican was winning, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the first one was a couple hundred votes. The second one came down to 100 votes. The third one, it was 10 recount. At that time, that's when it flipped over to the Democrat.
Yeah, yeah.
So in a power to the people, when we actually do hand recount,
well, I have a lot of confidence in that county. It's bluer than blue there, and we hope everything turns out good there. And And I do hope as a trend across the country they'll get back to paper ballots all over the place. It's not that hard to do, not that impossible. Although I will say, here our local ballot today was 18 pages long. So,
wow.
Yeah, 18 pages.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that'd have been a tough paper ballot right there.
Hey, no kidding.
Yeah. Hey, thanks so much for your call. Good to hear from you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye bye.
Have a nice day.
Oh, your prediction. Everybody's got to give a prediction today.
In the state of Washington?
No. Yeah, nationally. The Senate?
I think Democrats gonna take I think they're gonna take the House.
Numbers?
Not by huge margin.
Okay.
But I think Senate, Democrats going to come close, but I don't think they're going to take it.
Okay. All righty.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, hey, it's about time to run a little ad here. We'll be back in a minute or two.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Glad to have you along with us this afternoon. And as promised, we've got one of the busiest people in America today with us. We've got Susie Turnbull, Vice Chair of the Democratic National Committee, with us. Susie, welcome to the Guy James Show.
Guy, it's great to be with you. Good to be with friends on a day like today.
Oh, yeah, birds of a feather and all that. I guess we can tell everybody we had a very brief chat before we started here. Both of us are... I'm just feeling electric with anticipation over this whole thing, and I think you are as well.
I am.
I imagine you and Governor Dean and everybody down at the DNC, as soon as this is over, as soon as all the fights are over this week and next week, however long it takes, it's great, and we'll have some. You're going to need a little vacation, aren't you? I mean, has it been 7 days a week for how long now?
About 30 years. I think about 30 years. In this instance, this has been going on for a long time. Governor Dean and I were elected in February of 2005, and one of the first things that happened is that we started a program called our 50-State Partnership, where we looked at our state parties and said, who needs help, how can we help them, and what can we do? And we said, you've got to meet some guidelines and you have to meet some benchmarks, and let's move ahead. And quite honestly, it's a tremendous success, because what we've got is we really have a national party, so that on a day like today, when we have a national election, we have the right response. We have people out there on the streets, excited, enthusiastic, and just ready to vote for Democrats. And they've been working for months and months. In some states, like Florida, we've had people on the ground since probably April or May or June of 2005. So it's been a long haul.
Well, I have to tell you, and my listeners will know it, I've been behind this 50-state program all along. I think this was a house that didn't need to be tinkered with. This is a house that needed to be rebuilt, and you start with a new foundation, and I think a 50-state program is exactly that. And I think no matter what anybody else in the party thinks, I think it's been a great success, and we're going to find that out tonight.
Yeah, Guy, between the DNC, the DS, the DCCC, we've spent over $40 million for Get Out the Vote efforts. We made over 30 million voter contacts, including somewhere between 3 and 4 million on last Saturday alone, and 6.5 million targeted contacts to people who aren't regular voters. We call them drop-off voters. They don't vote in non-election years. It's making a difference in Florida. It's making a difference in Ohio. It's making a difference in Idaho, Wyoming, all over this country. Indiana, we're going to take seats. We're going to see this blue wave moving across the country today.
Oh, there's seats in play that no one dreamed would be in play today. It's shocking. J.D. Hayworth out in Arizona, for example. I don't know what today's polling. You know, Kurt Weldon. Look at some of these. Gee whiz.
I mean, exactly. Kurt Weldon, and a lot of these people basically did themselves in, obviously. But like Kurt Weldon, who should be ashamed of himself, and I hope is for inappropriate activity. We have people, in Florida, whoever thought a year ago, we're going to have the Mark Foley seat as a Democratic seat. Christine Jennings is also a Florida seat that we're going to see. I think Ron Klein may defeat Clay Shaw. These are huge races that you've got going.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They just weren't. Shaw's, I mean, I live in Florida. Who would have guessed that Clay Shaw's, he's behind in the latest poll. We very well might take that race today. That was unthinkable that we could take that seat.
Right, almost 25 years ago, when Clay Shaw was mayor of Fort Lauderdale, I was working at the U.S. Conference of Mayors. So I mean, that's a name that I'm familiar with for all these years. And I was in Florida in 2004. I met Ron Klein, and actually Ron and his wife went to the same high school I went to. And growing up in Cleveland, Ohio, which was sort of a funny coincidence.
All right, now what high school was that in Cleveland?
Cleveland Heights High School.
Okay. All right. I'm an ex-Buckeye, so I know all the schools in Cleveland. All right.
Well, let me tell you, I also had There is a great, today's going to be an unbelievably wonderful day in Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
I spoke with Frances Strickland this morning, who is going to be the next First Lady, and I spoke with Jennifer Bruner, who is going to be our next Secretary of State, and I can tell you, and both of them, have smiles from ear to ear today because they know that the people of Ohio are sick and tired and want to change, and they're providing that change.
Oh, I told one of my Ohio friends, Republican Ohio friends, the other night we were talking about Ohio, how it's going to be firmly in the blue camp, and Deborah Price might go down. Anyway, I told him, I said, it's just lucky for you that Voinovich isn't running, because we'd probably have Paul Hackett in there taking his seat away as well.
You're not kidding here. I mean, I think
no.
Deborah Price is, I mean, we're taking... In the Senate, we're taking down Rick Santorum, who's the third-ranking Republican in the Senate. And Deborah Price, who I think is the third or fourth-ranking Republican in the House. I mean, that's pretty remarkable. At the same time, I live in the Washington, D.C. area. I live in Bethesda, Maryland, and Northern Virginia. They are showing incredible turnout, record-breaking turnout. They have about, I just heard 40% of the registered voters have already voted in one precinct, where sometimes you don't even find much more than 60% of voting in the whole day.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got hours to go and a lot ahead of us. But the reason people are out there is because we've talked about this before. It's an election. A choice between more of the same in Washington and Iraq, or a new direction. It's a referendum on the Bush White House, an ineffective and silent Republican Congress, and an economy that's left the middle class behind.
Absolutely. And I told everybody, I gave this big, long diatribe a week or two or a month ago. I forget how long ago. I said, when you go to the polls, I don't care who you're voting for this time. Whoever it is on the Republican side, they are married to George W. Bush. I mean married to him, and don't you forget that. And I think a lot of people are. And the Republicans are complaining so long and loud about, well, they're trying to make this a referendum on George Bush. Well, yeah. come on.
And we're right to do this.
Absolutely.
Exactly right to do this, because it is a referendum. If one of these Republican congressmen would have stood up and held ground against George Bush, it would be another story. But they were lockstep, they were silent, and they stayed the course, and it's been in the wrong direction. I got to tell you, Paul Sarbanes, who's my senator here in Maryland, is a wonderful man. He is retiring, he tells this story in the start of a joke, but it's not. When you learn to drive, the first thing they teach you is that R is for reverse and D is for drive. I've been thinking about that. I mean, it's a cute little story, but right now that's what we have in this country. R is going in reverse and D is going in the right direction.
That's a great analogy. It really is. You're pretty sure Cardin's going to hang on there and beat Steele, even though Steele had a bit of a resurgence?
I think so. I mean, basically, it's a difference between someone who knows what he's doing and knows what he stands for and is a, you know, seasoned individual who is an expert on the Social Security system, an expert on health care, expert on pensions, running against someone who has not stood up against horrific negative campaigning this week, as well as literally outlandish things. Today, for example, in Prince George's County, which is Michael Steele's home county, one of his supporters has been distributing very, very racist and anti-Semitic literature against Ben Cardin. Mm. That's appalling, and Michael Steele should have stood up against it. Instead, every indication is that he is all for that. At the same time, the Republican Party here in Maryland had distributed a pamphlet to poll workers explaining how they could discourage people from voting. Now, Michael Steele is the former chair of the Republican Party in Maryland. Don't tell me he isn't in on that plan. I mean, all of these things are why voters are going to say no to those kinds of efforts and say yes to Ben Cardin.
Well, it's so transparent, and we're seeing that all around the country. Where the horrible ad against Harold Ford in Tennessee, and we hear Corker say, "Oh, I don't have anything to do with it," they're still running it, but I can't stop it. I can't. You can't tell me.
Right. Exactly. And Ken Millman, who is the chair of the Republican National Committee, who was paying for that ad, said, "Oh, I can't do anything about it. I have nothing to say about that." that when they talk about cut and run, they're running away from the truth on this.
Oh yeah.
People are fed up. People are fed up, not just Democrats, but Republicans and Independents. They're all fed up with a wageless recovery at home and endless occupation in Iraq. And a government that's putting special interests above the interest of you and me and our family.
Absolutely. Are you going to have a big party anyplace in Washington tonight? Not tonight. Maybe tomorrow night. I don't know. Are you planning anything big?
Well, there's a lot of what everybody calls watch parties all over.
Oh yeah.
There's watch parties downtown Washington. There's parties in Virginia. We have, in Maryland, every single seat is up. Our entire statewide ballot, and so we have tons of races and tons of parties to go to. And I think for us in Maryland, it will be a celebration. It'll be a celebration of to some degree, good over evil. And it's going to be a celebration of, and I think across this country, I really think so, Guy. I really think it's across the country of people going, wait a second, we're waking up to bad policies. We're waking up to people who just aren't standing up for the middle class.
Sure. Well, if you're out and about at any of those parties tonight, I'm sure you'll see a relative of mine that lives pretty close to you. Mary Ellen Withrow is my cousin, and she lives in Bethesda, so she'll probably be out and about. For my listeners, she's Mary Ellen's the former treasurer of the United States during the Clinton administration.
Yep, and she's a fellow Ohioan.
Oh, yes. Former treasurer, two-term treasurer of the state of Ohio, and a great lady.
She is terrific, and anybody can look on their dollar bills. Her name is Dilf on many of them.
Oh, yeah. Yes, indeed. Well, Susie, I thank you so much for being on the program today. Always a pleasure to have you. I think it's going to be a great day for Democrats. I'm feeling incredibly up over this, and I sense you are as well. And we'll see how it shakes up, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Great. Thanks a lot, Guy.
Have a good time at any of the little soirees tonight. I know you will.
Thanks. And remind all your listeners, get out and vote.
Absolutely.
Nothing changes unless we vote.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
A great lady. I've met Susie many times, and she's just a doll. She really is an extremely. I'll tell you one thing: when you meet Susie Turnbull, and she, like I say, the vice chair of the DNC, you would never notice in the first few minutes you meet her. You would never be able to tell that she's a heavy duty politico. You just wouldn't. But then you get to talking to her, and you find out she's got a lot of information, a lot of strategy in that brain of hers. Believe me, she's absolutely brilliant, and she comes across as very quiet and demure and all that. But she's a political tiger, and she's a good one to have in there as a vice chair to back up Howard Dean. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. I hope you'll give us a call today. We want to hear what you have to say about this election. I especially want to get all of your predictions. Come on now. Don't be shirkers. Let me know what your predictions are. I stuck my neck out. And once again, we're going to end up with 232 seats in the House and 51 in the Senate. That's the official Guy James prediction. I have a Coke bet on that. Yes, I did. I bet a Coke. I actually did. and a Diet Coke. And so 232 and 51, those are my numbers. I'd like to know what yours are. And speaking of predictions, I really feel bad today. Yesterday is when I really, it hit me so hard. It hit me so hard. Several months ago on this program, I predicted, when they first started talking about, what's his name, Carl Rove, Bush's brain, started talking about him having a October surprise. I predicted way back then that they would announce the day before the election the verdict of Saddam Hussein. I predicted that way back then. Damn it, I was a day off. They did it on Sunday. They could have waited one more day. Oh, no. They had to screw up my prediction, and I am pissed. Man, I thought I had that one on exactly to the day, but they screwed me over. They did it a day early, but guess what? It didn't work, did it? I don't think that announcement and anybody... I got a kick out of the Republicans on the talk shows, the talking heads. Oh, no, that wasn't political. Oh, my goodness, no. That's just how it happened. No, the American government didn't have anything to do with that. Oh, no. The Bush administration wouldn't. No, no. Please. Please. There's 365 days of the year, baby, and you announced it 2 days before the election? Nah, it's just another one of those strange coincidences that the Republicans have, right? But guess what, boys? It didn't work. It didn't work. Hell, everybody knew Saddam was guilty. Everybody knew he was going to get hanged. What kind of news was that? And did you Republicans really want to remind the public at the last minute about the Iraq War? After everything that all these guys out here running for the Senate and running for the House have tried to run on the economy, they've tried to run on this, gay marriage, and flag burning, and I don't know what all. They tried to completely get away from Bush, tried to completely get away from the war. They didn't want to talk about the war. That's the last thing they wanted to do is talk about the war. And what do? Karl Rove and boys, they have that decision brought down on Sunday, and then they got Junior Bush out all over hell talking about the war. Now, I got to tell you, I've seen some stupid things in politics over the years. but this takes the cake. It really does. And you know, I might be sitting here tomorrow with an egg on my face. I don't know, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think sending Bush out on the stump to talk about the war is possibly the most stupid political trick that I have ever seen. First of all, the guy is a geek with a capital G. You noticed how when he came to Florida, that even Charlie Crist wouldn't have anything to do with him. Oh, you know, it's one of those old deals that, you know, he politically has to tie a pork chop around his neck to get the dog to play with him. I mean, that's just how bad it is. They ran from him, no matter where he went. And yet here he is out here preaching to everybody, getting out the base. Well, all right. I think it's going to backfire. I think the John Kerry all falderall that they made over that's going to backfire. The way I see it right now, I think we've got 218, 219 House seats in the bag, absolutely nailed down. There's your majority right there. And there's about another 29, 30, 31 up for grabs. And we'll get close to half of those. So I think there is going to be a big blue wave roll over this country. The Senate, I'm not quite so sure, but I do believe it's going to be 51-49. Interesting. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Yeah, good afternoon, Guy. Happy Election Day. This is Albert.
Hi, Albert. How are you?
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty good. I just got done voting, and... Interesting. I remember I went in, and I live in the state of Wisconsin, and we don't, you know, pretty much we've always had paper ballots, but the new thing now is the electronic voting machines, which obviously, of course, anyone that's been paying attention for more than 5 seconds is not going to volunteer to use that over paper. So So when my little old lady election supervisor asked me, she's like, well, would you like to use the new machine, making it sound something like, you know, that you'd want to do? And I was like, oh, of course not. No, thank you. You know, like, I'd like my vote to count. Which, to which one of the little old ladies replies, well, of course it's going to count. And I said, yeah, but I don't want it to count backwards.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I made my vote, and we had a marriage amendment to vote on, and then we had a, death penalty, which, of course, you can't have a death penalty when you can't even get elections right. How are you going to get a court case right? So, yeah, but other than that, it's been pretty nice. There was actually a pretty big turnout, and I live in a small town, about 2,000 people. You know, there was no big lines or anything like that, but, it was... But in terms of predictions, I definitely do think we're going to hold a majority. I can't see... I really can't see that if unless we didn't get the vote out, unless our people didn't go out and vote, but I go to my store, and it's a pretty... It would be considered a little hippie store, and, I mean, everybody's voting there. So, I mean, and you just can't get away from it, so...
Well, Herb Cole's going to hold his seat easily. He wouldn't have had to campaign.
Yeah, he. I almost voted, actually. To be honest with you, I almost voted against him because he doesn't do much for me. But I decided to kind of just pull the weight.
Doyle's going to win the governorship again.
I do hope so. He, because Green is just a freak. The guy's just a freak. He wants to kill everyone and just put guns in everyone's hand. Yeah, that's fine, you know. But he, you know, and then he wants to raise it. You know, they want to take these taxes over here. It's just. It's silly. Who I wish I could have voted against was Sensenbrenner. But yeah, he's that. I don't know what that beast is up to. But I don't think I can even vote for him. I have Feingold. So Feingold, I like. Cole is a DLC-er to me. He's not a real.
Oh, he is. There's no doubt.
Yeah, he's not. He doesn't get me excited. He doesn't make me want to vote for him. And I've never seen him in my life. Who's the other? Who's my congressional representative? I mean, Kind is actually not too bad, but he's not too good. But I think I've read enough letters and tested him enough, especially on some of the my little pet issues, that he has moved forward a little bit, getting a better score from some of the political groups I'm affiliated with, and so he has moved a little bit. But other than that, I mean, Wisconsin, we were really not a. We were just here to hold the line kind of thing. It wasn't, you know, we're not in the trenches of actual change. But, you know, as long as I do think we did come out just to vote against Bush and vote against all these Republican policies. I mean, so I do think we'll have a decent turnout in the state of Wisconsin, and I really do hope that we have a fantastic turnout in the rest of the country.
Well, I think I'm not sure. Is it a Green Bay area, which you probably don't know, but the 8th district in Wisconsin, they had an open seat, and it's a toss-up. Is it really a toss-up between the Democrats leading, but that's one we can gain there in Wisconsin. So Kagan over Guard.
That's not in my. We're in a safe fort over here.
Yeah. What part of Wisconsin are you in?
The Southwest, near La Crosse.
Oh, okay.
Where they make the old style beer.
Yeah, well, I love Wisconsin. I do. I'm a big Ohio State Buckeye fan, and every other year we used to travel to Madison, and not only were the fans there lunatics, that's one of the prettiest places that you'd ever want to go, up there at Lake Mendota at Madison, Wisconsin in the fall. Gosh, love Wisconsin in the fall.
Yeah, it is beautiful. It is beautiful. But yeah, hey. You know, happy election day.
Well, your predictions, I can't let you go.
Predictions.
The House, how many seats? We got four.
I'm going to do 220.
220.
I think we got 220.
Okay.
And how's Lieberman? Is Lieberman losing?
No, he's winning. He's got this. That's a sewed up.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, 50-49.
All right.
Yeah. All right, guy. Be good.
Hey, thanks for your call. Good to hear from you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
From the Badger State of Wisconsin. I do love Wisconsin. You hear me say that about so many states in the country. I have, oddly enough, I've been to every state in the nation, every single one, except Hawaii. And never ended up there for some reason. I guess because I couldn't drive my car or ride my motorcycle there. Rode my motorcycle to Alaska one time. It was a guy's big adventure. A lot of fun, but I love it up through northern, you know, Wisconsin and Minnesota and across the every place in the country. You know, there's a lot of places in the country where people make fun of. Oh, I wouldn't like it here. Every state in the country's got something really nice about it. That's a fact. I can't really claim any state in the nation that that I have been to that doesn't have something particularly nice about it. Somebody said to me the other day, "Oh yeah, well, what about New Jersey?" Have you ever been to Cape May? Oh, Vineland, New Jersey? Oh, beautiful. Beautiful place down in there. Everybody thinks New Jersey's all like Hoboken or something. It isn't. No, that's not to say Hoboken isn't pretty, and it's a certain way, I guess. I don't know. 866-546-5254. As you can probably tell, I'm in somewhat of an ebullient mood today. I am very up over this election. I've got the popcorn ready, the diet soda ready. Gosh, I might even run down and get a half gallon of ice cream for late at night. But I'm going to stay up all night tomorrow. I'm not going to be worth a damn on this show tomorrow. I have to have six cans of Red Bull before we start, because I literally was up all night last night running polls and stuff. And I am so excited about this tonight, I just don't know what to do. We're hearing all across the country that lines are long, people are out, people are voting, and maybe record numbers. I think I might have mentioned already that at my polling place here, they told me this morning that by 8 a.m. we had surpassed the primary voting totals, which is a wonderful thing. We only had about 15% here during the primary. Of course, we didn't have a hell of a lot to choose from, I got to say. But and how about you? We had 18 pages on our ballot today. 18 pages. I don't know how many fire district guys and how many judges and this and that and everything. I tell you, it took to go through the sample ballot and pick out everybody and to know something about each and every one of them, it took a while. It took a long time to get prepared for this election this year with all the different, you know, the nonpartisan races, the fire districts and the school boards and the things like that, the water management district and all those things that so many people zip through. I take them to heart. I have to know somebody's position or I'm not going to put my X down beside him. And I might mention that I voted all Democrats except for one. And one I voted for was not a Republican. So there you go. Moving on here. Hey, how about I think we'll wait till after the top of the hour to talk about that. I wanted to tell you, you know, we had our guest on last week, Glenn Greenwald, Unclaimed Territory by Glenn Greenwald. Did you read his blog today? If you didn't, you ought to. Let me tell you. You really ought to. We're hearing massive problems all over the country with the voting. We're hearing about these robocalls, and if that isn't a hell of a note, we're hearing from them. So far, I've heard about them in New Jersey, Virginia, Washington, Pennsylvania, Kansas, New Hampshire, Connecticut, New York, Minnesota, and I'm sure there are more. It's getting dirtier and dirtier and dirtier. I see Denver's got a big snafu. They're going to have to keep their polls open an extra couple of hours tonight from what I hear. Don't forget this number. If you haven't gone and voted and you witnessed a problem, 1-866-MY-VOTE. 1-866-MY-VOTE. Is that how that figures out? 1-2-3-4-5-6-7. 1-2-3-4-5. Yeah. No. Well, 1-866-698-6831. If you spy anything that isn't quite according to Hoyle, whoever the hell Hoyle was, let me know first of all, and we'll make sure the right people find out about it. We're not gonna let them get away with anything this time around. Just not gonna do it. That's for sure. They're going to be accountable this time around. We've had all this funny business over the last few years. It's not going to fly this time. Not going to let them. We're vigilant. We're ready. They're not going to pull that crap again. Hey, you're on Head On Radio Network. You're listening to The Guy James Show on this Victory Day for Democrats. And we're going to be back right after the news at the top of the hour. Stay with us, won't you?
This is the Quality News Network. As the nation's voters go to the polls, lots of problems with new electronic voting machines already being reported today in Ohio, Indiana, and Florida, where a number of voters are forced to use paper ballots instead. In Missouri, despite a state court striking down a requirement that voters show ID, the state's chief elections official says she was improperly asked to show hers while voting today, a precursor to anticipated problems in that state. And in Maryland, there have been problems with absentee ballots, with thousands who requested them not getting them in time. A reminder that QNN will be providing special elections coverage at the top of the hour, beginning this afternoon at 5 p.m. Pacific time. Australia's Senate has voted to lift that country's ban on embryonic stem cell research. It still must be passed by the Australian House before it becomes law. Panama has been elected by the UN General Assembly to fill the designated Latin American seat on the Security Council. Panama became the compromise candidate after Guatemala and Venezuela both failed to gain enough support to win. The other new temporary members of the council are Belgium, Indonesia, Italy, and South Africa. They'll all serve two-year terms. In stark contrast to his demeanor in previous accord appearances, Saddam Hussein today talked about reconciliation, calling upon all Iraqis, Arabs, and Kurds to forgive, reconcile, and shake hands. Saddam was sentenced to death on Sunday following a guilty verdict in his first trial. He is now on trial for genocide against the Kurds in the 1980s. The Iraqi Interior Ministry is charging 57 members of the Iraqi police with torturing Sunni detainees at an eastern Baghdad prison. It's the first time the Shiite-dominated government has brought charges against its own security forces. A British al-Qaeda operative has been sentenced in London to 40 years in prison for plotting attacks on the New York Stock Exchange as well as targets in Britain. Israeli troops have now left a northern Gaza town where a week-long offensive left 50 Palestinians dead. Israel says they were targeting militants who had been firing rockets into Israel. Most of those killed were militants, but a number of children also died in those attacks. An American and a Briton kidnapped from a ship off the coast of Nigeria a week ago have been released unharmed. They are employees of a Norwegian subsidiary of Chevron. Ballots are now being counted in Nicaragua. With nearly 70% now tallied, former President Daniel Ortega continues to hold a commanding lead. In fact, Ortega victory celebrations are already taking place in Managua. And a state of emergency has been declared for Western Washington State, where heavy rain has caused mudslides and flooding, and where at least one man has died after his pickup truck was swept away by the rising Cowlitz River. This is the Quality News Network. Science and business news coming up next.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
A treat tomorrow for astronomers, both professional and amateur, when Mercury passes in front of the sun. It's a rare occurrence that can be viewed only with a properly outfitted telescope or online telescope camera. A 25-year study shows that circumcised males are less likely to become infected by sexually transmitted diseases. Walmart's planning to open its first Canadian supercenters this week, three of them, with 14 more scheduled for 2007. More bad news for Airbus. AP reporting that because of numerous delays, FedEx has canceled its order for 10 Airbus A380 Super Jumbo jets and will buy 15 Boeing 777s instead. Toyota's posting a 36% rise in net earnings for the July-September quarter and also forecasting a fiscal year profit of more than $13 billion. Microsoft has announced that beginning on November 22nd, Xbox Live users with the latest console will be able to buy TV shows or rent movies and then download them. And China is pledging billions of dollars in aid to African nations, including $3 billion in loans and $2 billion in export credits. Chinese President Hu Jintao also pledging to create a $5 billion fund to encourage Chinese investment in Africa. Gold is trading at $628 an ounce this hour. Light sweet crude is down 92 cents a barrel at $59.10. All the markets are higher on Wall Street. The Dow up 75 at 12,180. NASDAQ is up 20 at 2,386. And the S&P 500 is up 6 at 1,386. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter. It's now 5 past the hour.
Your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Oh, it's so good to be with you today. It really is. I'm feeling terrific. Night with no sleep last night, and I'm still feeling terrific. You know what? I'll probably hit the wall after the show's over. Oh, well. Yes, we're having a good time on the program today. And let me correct something right off the bat. Our good friend Billy Shears called during the commercial, during the news, rather, and said that I missed something on that phone number. And I did. I'll fess up. I'm not one of those ones. I'll just fess up right now. It's 1-866-MY-VOTE-1. My vote numeral one. All right. So if you find anything out of order, why, let us know. You know, they went to we have the voting machines here, and the guy went to get mine started this morning, and he sticks that little looks like a little deck of cards, sticks it in the thing, and it wouldn't start, and he sticks it in again, and it wouldn't start, and he sticks it in the third time and kind of wiggles it around a little bit, and finally it started up. Took a while to boot and all that, but finally it did work, and I did get my vote in there. So anyway, if you have anything happen like that, be sure and let everybody know. My God, there's stuff all over the country happening with these votes. There's some wild things happening, and of course, there's going to be some ugly incidents. There isn't any question about it. Let's. And by the way, you can call here, 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. Love to have you call today. And let's go to the phone right now. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. This is John from Fort Myers. How are you today?
Hi, John. I'm feeling pretty good. I really am.
So am I. First of all, I would like to say, no matter what the outcome today is locally or nationally, I want to say congratulations to you and all the other liberal or progressive talk show hosts, however they label themselves, for having kept at it over the last several years, even when it was a terribly unpopular thing to do. And, you know, the old saying is, if you repeat a lie often enough, it becomes the truth. Well, if you repeat the truth often enough, you can undo those manufactured lies that sound like the truth after a while. And I just, to all of you out there in who are, and I know the struggles you've gone through to stay on the air, to keep in touch with your audience, and I congratulate you for continuing to fight the good fight and making sure that the truth gets out there and people get a chance to hear it. That's first point. The second,
you don't know how much that means to me. Thank you, John.
Oh, good. You are welcome. And the second thing is, I am really looking forward to having three branches of government back again.
Oh, yeah.
We've missed that for the last. We've had two branches of government, and they've tried like hell to undo the judiciary and make it all one. Now, they didn't quite succeed with that, and but they certainly undid Congress. Congress, for the most part, hasn't existed for the last 6 years.
No.
It just, there have been two branches of government, and one of them was 75% in the pocket of the executive, and thank God for that 25% that didn't go their way.
Oh, you're so right.
And I am so looking forward for, you know, two words that haven't been really spoken too much in the past 6 years, congressional oversight. You know, Thomas Jefferson, you know, he can stop spinning in his grave now, because I think his ideal is going to be, I mean, I love the way that Sean Hannity has tried to drum up the fear in his audience by saying, I just want you to imagine waking up one day and hearing Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi. Hey, we woke up one day and we heard Speaker of the House Dennis Hastert, more incompetent, crooked, do-nothing, know-nothing Speaker of the House we've never had before.
We probably had one as crooked. We've probably had one as do-nothing. But without question, we have never had one more incompetent. Never.
I take a look at some of those people and I just wonder, how in the world could anybody ever have had confidence in them? Was the steps to power paved by promises that I will stay out of your way, I'll do whatever you want? I mean, the certainly the end result would suggest that, with this executive, if you want to get the power behind you to become a leader in Congress, either make one or two promises. I'll do nothing and stay out of the way, or I'll promise to be as crooked as you are.
Hey, did you see that documentary on C-SPAN not long ago about the Capitol building, where they went all through the Capitol building?
No, I did not.
Well, they took you around through the whole deal, and you got to see quite a lot of it up close and personal. And if you see that speaker's office, I guess you'd understand why some of these guys that get down and bow and kiss the feet of the president, anything, just let me stay, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
That's the way
sure.
they operate. Well, you know, yeah. John, you live around here. We can let all of our listeners know. It is flat as a board around here, right, the terrain?
Yes, indeed.
Should we be wrong about this? How this election is going to go? There's no big place to go jump off of. I'm really worried about that.
No, there isn't, and I cannot see a cheat big enough.
No.
To overcome the momentum for the House. I can't see it. The Senate maybe. But the House the House is going to be a lock, and the House is where we want to have it anyway. I know that Dick Cheney has already said he will not answer a subpoena.
Yeah.
It's an incredible thing for a sitting vice president of the United States to say.
Isn't that something? I mean,
this is Nixonian in character, this whole thing, only worse.
Yeah, couple that with his statement about, we don't care what the voters think. We're going ahead with our plan no matter what.
Exactly.
We're not running for office. I mean, I just am aghast at some of the things that man says.
It is the textbook definition of hubris.
Oh, yeah.
And he is the epicenter of that feeling in Washington, that man.
I agree.
I'm hearing my phone beep, which I think sounds like I'm about to lose power, so... Before I get out of this ungraciously, just let me say thank you for letting me speak to you on this most important day. And once again, congratulations for all you've done over the past several years.
Thank you, John. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Well, that's good to hear. It's good to know what we do is appreciated. It really is. I do feel good today. I'm up. I am really up. I'm not kidding you. I am. I'm not doing one of these Republican deals they've been doing the last few days with this false optimism. I genuinely feel really good about a wave sweeping over a blue wave, a pretty beautiful blue wave sweeping over this country tonight. I feel it. I feel it coming. Yes, the Senate's in doubt. The House... And let's be reasonable here. There is no way. There's no way we could lose the House. No way. No way we could lose the House. If we lose the House, if that should happen, we will know for a fact that something is really, really, really wrong in Denmark. And I don't give a damn what Rush Limbaugh says that we would claim to have cheated if we got beat and all that. You're damn right I would claim we got, there was cheating going on if we got beat. I don't think they can cheat enough to beat us out of the House. I really don't think so. Don't think it can happen. Let's go, and that's not to diminish anything anybody has to say about these cheating, no good, rotten, back alley tactics of the Republicans. They've done it. They're going to do it all they can. They'll continue to do it right up until the polls close tonight. We know what they are. We know who they are. You can send me all the emails you want, some of you, right-wingers, about how the Daily Machine used to operate in Chicago. And you may well have a point. In fact, I'll grant you that you have a point, that it wasn't the only place that took place. It wasn't the only place at all. The Republicans had their machine there as well. But do know this. This is 2006. This is 2006. That is not going on in the Democratic Party today. I won't say that nobody ran any negative ads, because they did. But they didn't approach the filth run by the Republicans. They didn't. And I'll get to the phone in just a moment. If you're on the phone, hang on. I want to make a point. I know Mike DeWine, Republican senator from Ohio. He's not a friend. He's not even acquaintance. I've been around him enough and seen him enough and all to know that Mike DeWine is a good and decent man, an honorable man. And you cannot imagine how shocked and surprised and disappointed I am in him personally. Forget the fact that he's a Republican. How utterly disappointed I am that his campaign sank to the depths of depravity against Sherrod Brown in order to come up with a victory. That's what it's come to in the Republican Party. To take a good and decent man, a good family man, in Mike DeWine of Ohio. And he hardly ever vote the way I'd like and everything, but I know he was a good, decent man. My opinion of him has changed. And I know that he didn't sit and write those ads that he ran against Sherrod Brown, but I know damn well he let him go. He let him run. And I just was disgusted by it, that the stinking, rotten Republican Party would even make a good man into something corrupt and stinking. That's really ugly. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy. Part of your Northern California fan club here.
Hi, Dave.
I want to second everything that the previous caller, Mark, had to say about you and your program.
Thank you.
And I don't want to do anything to shatter what's an obvious, pretty upbeat day for you, but you, more than almost anybody I know, probably more than anybody, has a real grasp of how lowlife, how devious, how exploitive, how low-charactered this White House trash is right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I think you've had guests on there that have caused you to feel the last couple of elections were certainly stolen. And their character has not improved even a little bit.
No, it's gone the other way.
And under the supposed Help America to Vote Act, they put in new machines all over the damn place.
Yeah.
So I got to go with the logic that they're going to do everything they can to do it. And a computer, the way they're designed, I mean, it can do anything. You can do anything with a computer, literally. I mean, you can put 60 zillion and all for one person and switch it around and put 60 zillion for somebody else. You can do whatever you want with a computer. You know that much better than I suspect. The arrogance that we're hearing from Cheney, that's saying we don't give a damn what the people think, and that is what you're hearing and you're commenting on it. That's the arrogance of somebody that knows something, that it no longer matters. We own the equipment that you're going to vote on. And so we don't care what you think. We don't really care how you vote. That's nothing to do with anything. We will decide all that. That's the arrogance that we're hearing.
Oh, it's arrogance. Jeez. It's incredible. And you know, Dave, here's my opinion on that. Do I think they've gotten worse since the last election, morally and ethically? Absolutely. Do I think they'll steal this election if they can? Absolutely. No question about it. My only point about it this time is, and it's why I'm feeling positive, is that the last two elections they've stolen in the dead of the night. They've stolen it because they were slick and they got away with it, and the guards weren't watching the gold. This time, they're going to have to pull off this robbery in broad daylight with many, many people like yourself and others around, Brad Friedman's and the Clint Curtis's and all those people around the country with their eyes wide open and you know, watching the situation closely. If they can do that, we would really have a problem. So I don't think they're going to get away with it. Do I think they're trying it? Oh, sure they are.
Tonight, at all the registrar of voters' offices in all the counties around the country, after the election's over, concerned people, and there's a hell of a lot of us that are going to show up at the registrar of voters' office, will be dressed in blue, and we'll be there to plan, what do we do this time, you know, and... you know, I keep thinking, if it was something that we could do, we should have done it the last damn time. But you're right. Not enough people knew. We had Rush Limbaugh out there hollering, get over it. You know, it was an honest election and everything and people not knowing. But I think right now, there's enough people aware that election fraud is what these guys are all about.
Dave, I wanted to tell you about something. Maybe you know this. I'm not sure our audience does. You may well know this. I know you keep up on this sort of stuff as good or better than anybody. I want to read you a little something that was sent to me today. It's from Ohio, naturally. GOP poll workers received supplemental training last Thursday. GOP poll workers. It says the Board of Elections of each county in Ohio chooses a certain number of people from each political party to serve as poll workers at the election. A gentleman who initially asked to be selected by the Board of Elections for Franklin County, that's where Columbus is, on the Democratic side, was told there were no slots remaining, so he called back and got a slot on the Republican side. This poll worker has requested that his name not be used in this article. Okay, we'll grant that. We won't get his name. It says, on November 1st, he attended the formal training provided by the Franklin County Board of Trustees. Okay, that's how that goes. And he thought he was ready to go. So far, so good. To his surprise, that very afternoon in the mail, he received a form letter from the Ohio Republican Party informing him that although he had completed the quote, required training on Thursday, he could receive optional training provided by the Ohio GOP at a private facility. Again, the letter was not from the Franklin County Board of Elections nor from the Secretary of State of Ohio. It was from the Ohio Republican Party. They wanted the Republican poll workers to come in for optional training at a private facility. Just the Republicans. Would somebody explain that to me?
Well, I certainly can't. I share everything that you feel about how exploitive and devious and low class this group of cons are. I think they do just about anything. They've caused the death of any number of people. They're not troubled by that kind of thing. I think part of the arrogance that they have is they like us kind of knowing about it. They are saying, we've got all the power. We've got the military. We've got the National Guard. We've got the courts. We've got the Congress. We've got the appellate judges. We've got... What are you going to do about it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's at a point where just about anything, I think, is going to be justified if the people of this country want to say that. I sincerely hope, as much as you can, get it out to every good candidate for Congress, for Senate, for offices, do not concede. Insist that they manually count all of the paper that there is to be counted. And at least there's absentee ballots in every one. You can sit down and manually count absentee ballots.
Right. And there's another number, by the way. Dave, I'll get this in. 1-888-DEM-VOTE. 1-888-DEM-VOTE if you have any problems voting. And there are people who are having some problems.
Yeah, you know, and for the most part, they can't even tell. Like up here, now most of California is on the Sequoia machine, and I'd heard that they were going reasonably well. The county that I live in up here, we're all like myself and Alice, it's a big university area. So some of the towns, there's more Greens registered than there are Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
So, very, very high percentage of liberal people. But they're putting the Debo machine and the papers, the pundits, the cons are putting out that the election's going to be very close up here. And they just say that. You know, that's Sean Hannity's putting that out all over the place, that elections are going to be very close. Reality is that we got a big, big turnout. This is people that are very unhappy. They hate this war that we're in. They hate the lies that are coming at them from this White House. They want to get new people in office.
He said it was going to be close in Humboldt County, California?
Hannity's saying that all over the place.
Boy, Limbaugh spent his whole show today trying to grease the skids for that same kind of thing.
Yeah.
He spent the whole day for that.
I think reality up here, we're at 80-20. You know, if there's 20% of the people that are Republican that'll actually go in and vote for them. And these are people that are not in mental hospitals, that are people out walking the streets, you know, bouncing into polls and whatnot. No capacity for real thought. But if there's 20% that can make it to the polls and will vote Republican, I will be surprised in this county.
Yeah.
But still, they plan to steal this county.
Well, not going to let it happen. Yeah, I know you'll be vigilant. I just think the Democrats are much better prepared this time around. I just think they are, and it's like the old saying in sports, you know, in basketball, for example. You can beat a team twice in one season, but getting them that third time is kind of tough. And I think we got a surprise for them this time around.
Well, I certainly hope so. And I was of the belief that before this damn election today, we should have had thousands of people dressed up as early American Indians and throwing Debo machines into the bay.
Good idea.
A far, far worse atrocity being perpetrated against the people of this country than was the Boston Tea Party.
Oh, does anybody not think it's odd that normally there's a 5% changeover every year in voting type venues? Yeah, all around the country, and this year there was a 50% turnover in the means by which we voted with these machines. 50% were replaced this year.
They called it the Help America to Vote Act.
Oh, yeah.
Help the cons to stay in another term and retain all power and put the people... Take away our democracy is what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to let it happen, Dave.
I hope not, Guy. Yeah, and I'm going to hear you swinging a baseball bat on the air tomorrow.
I'll tell you what I'm going to be doing tomorrow, Dave. I'm so confident I'm going to be playing Happy Days Are Here Again. Thanks, Dave. Good to hear
all
from
right,
you.
All right, bro. Take care.
Got an email from our friend Billy Shears, and let me tell you about it. I know he won't mind me reading this to you. He said... The turnout here in Maryland seems to be huge. I noticed in talking briefly to many people, most were voting for Democrats. However, the little old lady standing behind me said she was a Democrat. I said, good, then you'll be voting for Senator Ben Cardin. Well, she looked at me with this piercing stare and said, oh, no, I can't vote for him. I'm a Christian. He's for abortion and stem cell research. I asked this of her, would you be willing to sign a statement? Oh, thank you, Billy. I love this. Would you be willing to sign a statement that reads, if a cure for any life-threatening disease, such as cancer or Alzheimer's, is the result of stem cell research, you or any family member would not be eligible for the treatments? She just continued with that hateful, piercing glare. Do you think she changed her vote? Nah. But if she really thought it through before touching the screen, perhaps she did. Oh, Billy, you are so right. That is the best thing to ask somebody. The very best. I got a relative I'm going to pull that on as soon as I see him again. Sign this here. Be a different story, wouldn't it? Be a whole different story if everybody in the country had somebody come down with Parkinson's or Alzheimer's or something that... Some kind of stem cell research, be it embryonic or regular stem cell, would help? Oh, it'd be a different story. So easy to sit there I'd like to know what the percentage of people that whose families are affected by these horrible diseases. I'd like to know what percentage of those people think that stem cell research, no matter what kind of stem cell research it is, isn't a good idea. I wonder how many of those people would say, oh no, that isn't morally right. What do you suppose? Would it be 1% even? I doubt it. Very good, Billy. Thank you. 29 minutes, almost 30 minutes past the hour, 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. We do hope you'll give us a call here today on the Guy James Show. Here's one of my favorites, one of my favorite guys.
We're in the minority. Maybe you don't know that. You come here to a church full of thousands of people, you think, man, we're in the majority. I want to tell you, we're in the minority. Hollywood, there are a few believers there. Most of them are loony as a fruitcake, against everything high, holy, and sacred. And you go to Washington, there's some great and godly men and women in the Congress. But for every one of them, there's a Hillary Clinton. For every one of them, there's a Nancy Pelosi. Imagine San Francisco Pelosi, Speaker of the House.
Well, Jerry Falwell, USOB. I despise Jerry Falwell. I despise him. I really do. And if you want to come down on me for saying that about a, quote, man of the cloth, why, go right ahead. One of the best friends I've ever had in my life was a minister, a good close friend, and I respect that a great deal. And I'm a Christian myself. But Jerry Falwell, Benny Hinn, what some of these, you know, of course, you know, the Dobsons and the Pat Robertsons and that whole gang of just plain charlatans. Let's say it how it is. They're charlatans. There's nothing good I can say for them. He mentions that for every good person in Hollywood, there's a Hillary Clinton or like that. Let me tell you something else, Mr. Falwell. For everybody, every good one in your profession, in your right-wing, hardcore evangelistic group, for every good one, there's a Haggard out there. For every good one, there's a Jimmy Swaggart out there. And don't you forget it. Money. 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 That's what it's about. God, I watched the TV just filled with these TV evangelists now talking about how you can get prosperity with the Lord. All you got to do is send in $100 and the Lord will smile upon you and make sure that you are fruitful, that your life will become prosperous. All you got to do is send me a check, Reverend whoever. I have no respect for that whatsoever. None. And Falwell, he's just a mouthy bastard that he thought he was getting his way with this administration. He wasn't. They're all bitter. You notice how he said he didn't know the Reverend Haggard. Didn't know him. Yes, there's lots of dirty tricks going on out there today. Many, 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 many dirty tricks going on out there today. Interesting. And of course, over the weekend, I got to see quite a few of the videos of the Sunday morning talk shows. And I just want to say, Liddy Dole, I probably better not say it. I probably just ought to keep my mouth shut. But the idea that Liddy Dole, a political whore of the highest order, could go on TV and filibuster everybody sitting around that table at Timmy's table, that the jihadists, in her words, the jihadists want the Democrats to win. It is about as foul as anything anybody could say. Cheney has said it, Bush has said it, and she said it. She also said that Kerry insulted the troops. How could you be such an idiot, so blinded, to think that John Kerry meant to insult the troops? And they ask him, you mean you think he meant to do that? And they all say, yes, he did. If you believe that, if you believe that one thing, if you really believe that John Kerry made that statement with the intention of insulting the troops, if you think he has that kind of a mindset that he looks down upon the troops, then there is no use talking to you about anything political. There is no use. If you have a mindset like that, you're out there. You're way out there, and no one will get through to you. If you think that's the truth, and if you think the jihadists want the Democrats to win, you have a wall up that facts cannot penetrate. You would not let facts in to your brain if you think those kind of things are true. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. We'll be back in a minute.
This is Granny B, and I was just thinking about voting and how important it is. In fact, this time, it is truly a life and death matter. George Bush has gotten us into a war that our military says we can't win without big changes in how we're fighting it. But Bush says he won't change anything. We are losing more and more soldiers all the time. And it's not just the soldiers who are in danger. According to our own intelligence experts and those of many other nations, we Americans are in more danger from terrorists than before we invaded Iraq. Not only that, there are lots more poor people, more hungry children, and more homeless in this country since Bush took office. Some of those people are dying too. So if life is important to you, your life, and those of your loved ones and fellow Americans, do something about it. If you haven't already volunteered to do phone banking for a campaign, get on the phone and call everyone you know. Tell them not to worry about what anybody says about who's winning and who isn't. Tell them to go to the polling place and vote as if their life depended on it, because it does. Tell your friends and family to report any problems they may have voting. They should report problems to the poll watchers, and later they should call the People for the American Way at their toll-free number, 866-OUR-VOTE. That's 866-OUR-VOTE. We must show the people who have taken so much from most of us and given it to the very few that we will not tolerate what they have done and what they will continue to do unless huge numbers of us tell them no. This is Granny B, and I am not wondering today. I am certain we must vote for our country, for our neighbors, for our families, and for ourselves.
This is a test of the Emergency Election Theft Notification System. This is only a test. The actual theft of the election will take place on Tuesday, November 7th. At that point, you will be informed where to take your pitchforks and torches as you take back our government. This has been a test of the Emergency Election Theft Notification System.
Let's enjoy knocking their soft teeth down their whining throats.
In Iraq, my administration looked at the intelligence, and we saw a threat. Members of Congress looked at the intelligence, and they saw a threat. The United Nations Security Council looked at the intelligence, and it saw a threat.
Very funny.
Tell us what you think. Call Guy James now, 1-866-546-5254.
Hey, welcome back to the Guy James Show. 20 minutes before the hour, actually 21 minutes before the hour. Plenty of time for you to call and give us your predictions. Not enough of you giving us those predictions. In fact, I'm remiss. I've let a couple of you off the hook I've let you call and not give a prediction. And here I am standing here naked as the one who's given all the predictions and tomorrow, and no one else has been specific. Why not? Why aren't you doing that? 866-546-5254. Come on, let's get down to brass tacks. 866-546-5254. I want to know what you think are the numbers for tomorrow or this week or whenever we get it all settled. I was serious earlier that I think Ohio, I mean it, George Voinovich has been a popular senator in Ohio. I swear to God, if he was up for election right now, that we would have put Paul Hackett up against him and kicked his ass. I'm sure of that. Michigan, looks like Debbie Stabenow is going to keep her seat in the Senate, and Jennifer Granholm is going to hold on to the governorship. Stabenow, despite DeVos spending a ungodly amount of money. Oh, man, has he poured a ton of money into that race. But I'm pretty sure that Granholm's going to hold on. Why? People say, well, why would she hold on? Because, Michigan's lost a lot of jobs. It hasn't been local state policies that's happened. It hasn't been because of that. It's been because of the trade policies of this U.S. government. That's why they've lost the jobs. That's why the jobs are flowing out of the country in record numbers. And an odd situation, and I hope we're on to something here. I first started to hear him talk about it last night, and I'll get to the phone in just a minute. Don't hang up. 880,000 people already voted in Tennessee, did the early voting, before these latest poll numbers came out that showed Corker pulling away from Ford. So did these early voters, were they Democrats? Did they get a big leg up on this thing before the poll numbers started to go down? Could this Tennessee race end up being a huge surprise tonight? I'm looking forward to finding out how that one's going to go. I really am. Pennsylvania, Santorum, cooked. Done. Rhode Island, I think we're going to take it. New Jersey, yes, we're going to take it. Maryland, Cardin's going to hang on. Virginia, oh, Webb, I hope you can do it. Of course, Sherrod Brown looks like a virtual certainty in Ohio for the Senate. In Missouri, I wonder Missouri. That's a tough one. That is a tough one right now. But we know McCoskey has been out in the suburbs working on traditional hardcore red areas, so that might bear some real fruit. And Montana, come on, you people. John Tester is a good, solid man, and you like conservative people in Montana. He's a fairly conservative guy, and he's running against a crook. He's running against somebody that more than likely is going to get indicted after this election's over with. One guy that's been in bed with Jack Abramoff. So use your heads, people. Use your heads. Let's go to phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. This is Ed out in Utah.
Hi, Ed.
How you doing?
You're in Salt Lake City?
On the outskirts of Salt Lake.
What suburb is that?
I live in Kearns.
Okay.
It's just a, it's sort of like unincorporated area.
Okay, all right.
So, but I don't have any predictions yet because I've been on the phone volunteering with MoveOn.org, and I'm hoping, you know, we can get some of your listeners that can get out and do the same. And it's been kind of fun just making lots of calls and getting people out to vote. And my experience is almost everybody that I've talked to has already voted already. So.
Ah. And you're in a people. You're in a what kind of a list are you using?
They give you a list, and you know, if you go to MoveOn.org, they're not giving me anything here in Utah. I've been calling for James Webb, and I've been calling for different people in the in the battleground state.
Well, it wouldn't do you a lot of good to call anybody in Utah now, would it?
Oh no.
No.
I voted anyway this morning, but
well, good. It still counts. And I'm glad you, even though you're in an area that's blood red, as where I'm at as well.
That's
the thing to do, man.
Well, at least my, you know, my state representatives and all that are Democrat for in my area.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. So, but yeah, I just wanted to, you know, have some of your listeners check out moveon.org because it's a good way to, you know, get a few people out to the polls that haven't been out yet.
Well, you know what? I think there's been all this made by the talking heads on TV about the Republicans' 72-hour plan. You've heard about their last 3 days, how they're all organized and everything. And it's true, they are. And it's true, they have made a difference in the past in some of these elections. But I think where the clinker is for them this year, yes, indeed, they're using their 72-hour program in the states where they thought they were going to have to use it. The clinker for them is they don't have enough people and enough stats to use it in some of the places that are in play now that they never dreamed would be in play. So that big machine of theirs got stretched mighty thin in both bodies and with money, and doesn't have the stats in some of the states. Like you take Reynolds in New York, you take some of those places where they thought they were absolutely immune from Democrats taking them. They're having to try this 72-hour plan of theirs in those states, and they can't because they weren't prepared for it. So I think that thing's been overstated. I really do.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, well, I just hope I'm going to be glued to the TV tonight, and I probably won't be able to sleep until I find out which way it's going to go.
Oh, yeah. So. I doubt we'll know how the Senate's going to go tonight. I hope we do, but I'd be surprised if before tomorrow or the next day or even the next day that we know how the Senate's going, because I think some of those races might be that close. I hope not, but I feel good about it. Do you feel good about it?
I feel fairly good about it. Yeah, I don't know. I've got a side of me that just doesn't want to get too excited until I know, you know.
Normally that's me. I don't like the big letdowns, but on this one I'm feeling good, and I hope tomorrow I'm not sitting here going, oh no, and I don't think I am.
So, but I'm a big fan of yours. I never miss a podcast. I don't usually get to hear you live, but I'm familiar with all your callers, Sarge and all these different guys that call in. I know everybody just because I listen to your show every day.
Well, I appreciate that very much. I do. You know I do. And I thank you. Thank you one and all for listening to the program. I enjoy doing it, and to know that some of you enjoy listening is good. Thank you.
All right. Well,
thanks for calling, and we'll be back tomorrow with a victory in hand.
I hope so.
Okay. Bye now. Yeah, someone on the chat room, Steady, mentioned video cam in hand. Yeah, I took my video camera with me this morning to the in my phone, my video phone camera thing, and I was ready in case any little naughty things turned up that shouldn't have. You know, there's some very interesting things around the country. Yes, we're looking at all these big Senate races and everything, but there are some interesting things happening around the country. You take South Dakota, for example. 9 p.m. tonight. Let me see. What time are they on? Are they on? Well, anyway, Eastern time tonight, by 9 o'clock, South Dakota starts tallying results. And it's got one of the most watched ballot initiatives in the country. A vote on a virtual ban on all abortions. And that means incest, rape, whatever. They've got that on the ballot up there. It's going to be interesting to see how that turns out. 8 o'clock, that's going to be the hour of when we're going to start finding out a lot about the Senate. 6 o'clock Eastern time, Kentucky's polls close. And there's a couple of House races in Kentucky that may well be a barometer of what kind of a tide may sweep over the country tonight, if it's going to be a big blue tide. 7 o'clock, the Virginia Senate race. I think their polls close at 7. If Allen loses, a lot of people think it might end up being a long night for Republicans. Maybe we won't know. Maybe that thing will be so doggone close we won't be able to know. But there's just a lot of interesting things taking place all around the country. Different races in states. In Ohio, of course, we know Ted Strickland is going to have an easy win over the governorship, over Blackwell, and you don't know how much that pleases me and most everybody in Ohio, evidently. Sherrod Brown is strongly favored to beat Mike DeWine, and Democrats will probably win the seat vacated by the convicted thief Bob Ney, and they're also running strong races against Deborah Price and Mean Gene Schmidt. Oh, wouldn't it be nice to see Mean Gene get bounced out of the House down the Capitol steps? Man, wouldn't that be good? The Harold Ford race, that could end up being very interesting. Just a whole lot taking place tonight. It boggles the mind. And I'll tell you something else that's interesting. When I look back across my political life over the years, on election eve, we would be wondering who was going to win the county commissioner's race. Who perhaps was going to win a city council race. You know, a local judgeship, something like that. And maybe our congressman and maybe our senator. And didn't really think a hell of a lot about what went on in the House races around the country. Aren't we finding out that in this great information age we live in, and I do think it's just absolutely great, I think it's great for the country that all of you, for example, are so heavily involved in this process. You know, I think about my listeners on this program. You didn't tune into this program today to hear a bunch of propaganda crap. You didn't tune into this program today to hear a Rush Limbaugh or a Sean Hannity cheerleading type thing. You tuned in today to hear some facts, the truth. You want to know what's happening because you have an earnest desire to know what the truth is and not be propagandized and not be bullshitted like Limbaugh spent his whole program today, and I listened to it. I listened to maybe an hour and a half of it today just to see what he was going to do today. And you know what he was doing? He was greasing the skids up for a big loss. He was preparing his people for a loss. He was preparing his people in the kindest way possible to let them know that all the BS that he's been passing out and the Republican Party's been passing out for the past couple of years is a bunch of horse manure. He was trying to let them down easy. He was doing the best he could to keep their spirits up. He was saying, oh, I'm getting a lot of negative emails. Come on, folks, we're going to pull this out and all that. And he was a great apologist for Rick Santorum. He went on and on and on today how this wonderful man, how this man who wouldn't give up on his principles no matter what. And I will give you that. Santorum did not back down one bit. I will give him that. I will say that I admire him for that. Nothing else. But even though I disagree with everything that he stands for, I think that he stuck to it no matter what, and he wouldn't change his mind. And I do respect that. I really do. You'll have to say that about Santorum. He didn't change his views about anything. He didn't, in order to grovel for votes, he didn't come down off of any of his opinions. He stuck to them. So, in that regard, good for you, Rick Santorum. Now, I think you're a bastard, and I disagree with everything you say, but, I'll congratulate you for sticking to your guns. Okay? That's all. But, Limbaugh went on and on and on today about that. But I think he was preparing his people to lose. Here we've had the Republicans out talking about gay marriage and as if it were equal to the war problem. And the war is a problem for the Republicans, a huge problem for them. Still got time to get a call in, 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. 54. I just think it's going to be one of those times today. I don't know if it'll be like the 1994 near revolution that we had in the Congress, but it may end up being something similar. And I think this is the time that you go through Tennessee and Ohio and Missouri and Kentucky and Virginia and Montana and some of these states that are in play. I think the Reagan Democrats, and I hate using that, but I know some Reagan Democrats. The Reagan Democrats and the Libertarians, I think they're leaving this president and whatever kind of party it is that he's running right now, I think they're leaving him behind. I think they're jumping ship. A lot of these folks are. Let's face it, the Reagan Democrats were tired of a lot of overspending. They were tired of a lot of social programs that got a little bit out of hand, a little bit unwieldy, and a little bit too expensive, and they jumped ship. The Libertarians, they've always been an unwieldy group. Never know what they're going to do, but they've been by and large Republican. But I think the Libertarians and the Reagan Democrats have left the Republican Party, by and large. And I think we're going to get some of them this time around. And once again, I do want to let you know, write this down, and tomorrow you'll be able to tell me what a fool I am, maybe. But I'm saying we're going to end up with 232 seats in the House. 232 and 51 in the Senate. I want to say 50 or 51, but my head tells me to say 50 or 51, but I'm going to let my heart take that one on up to 51. So that's what I think it's going to be. The Shuler race in North Carolina, that one's going to be interesting to see how it comes out. He's campaigned so hard. He is definitely at the toward the middle in the Republican, in the Democratic Party. He's very much a conservative. A conservative Democrat, let's say it that way. So I think tomorrow, maybe when a lot of you wake up tomorrow morning that couldn't stay up all night, I think you're going to turn on your TV and you're going to have some good news for a change. It's been all bad news for a long time. And I've been tired of having to come on this program every day and report bad news about our soldiers being killed, and bad news about one political fiasco after another taking place in this country. It'll be so good to come on and say that we perhaps will be able to start a new beginning, that we'll be able to have a new Congress, some new committee chairs, that we'll be able to clean out the filth and corruption in Washington. And be advised that if we do take this House, that you and I and everybody that put the new people into this Congress, we have to be ever so vigilant and keep their feet to the fire. And let them know we didn't send them there to be like the ones that they replaced. We sent them there to clean the place up. We sent them there to do the right thing. We sent them there to do what's best for America. And that is what this is all about. It's not a game. It's not a yay, I'm on the winning side thing. We want to send people in there that'll do the right thing for us, for our country. And yes, even for the world. So this is important. It's far more than politics. It transcends politics. Yes, we're Democrats, we're progressives, we're liberals. But mostly we're Americans. First of all, we're Americans, and we love this country. And we want what's best for this country. And that would mean sending a new group to Washington, and like I said, have them sweep out the halls of Congress, hose the place down, get rid of the dirt, the filth, the K Street corruption, and start over again. And you can be responsible for doing that. I can be responsible for that. This is only the first step. Sending new people to Congress is only the first step. After that, it's up to you and I to keep up the same fervor that we hold in our hands right now to keep our new representatives, our new senators, in line and doing what's right. We have to be ever vigilant, even of our Democratic friends in Congress. So keep that in mind. That's what this is about. I hope we have a great evening tonight. I've got the popcorn ready. I'm going to sit back and watch this like I've never watched an election return before. And I know many of you will as well. And I want to thank you for being here on the Head On Radio Network along with me today here on the Guy James Show. And I want you to remember, you heard from the radical right. Oh, yes, you have. But all that's left is the truth. Now it's time to find out if the American public agrees with us. Have a good one, gang. We'll be right back.